Welcome back to the second session of Women of the Word from May of 2018. We are on page 48 of God's Design for Woman. And we're reading on the woman that had been bleeding for 12 years. So we pick up on page 48. She made the choice to press through the crowd and touch Jesus. Will you? Who are the multitudes standing between Jesus and you, crowding him out of your reach? Are there thoughts like, yes, I grew up in church. I heard all about Jesus when I was young. I'm saved and I went to church for years and I still got sick. I don't think healing is for today. That's just something Jesus did to establish his reputation while he was on earth. My family's history is full of cancer and heart disease. My primary care doctor says I have it, and so do all of my specialists that I've gone to see. I guess I'm just high risk like my mother was. Besides, I've prayed for Jesus to heal me, and it hasn't changed. The truth is, we haven't changed. We are waiting for Jesus to do something to change our circumstances. He already has. You may want to underline that in your book. He already has. And let's read this scripture, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs or our pains and carried our sorrows, our sicknesses. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Not only in this scripture, guys, where it says, by his stripes we are healed, the chastisement for our peace. When Jane taught me that scripture, you already have peace. It was already given to you at the cross, not just for salvation, not just for being healed, but you also got, he gave us peace. That was part of what he did on the cross. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And then we have 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. The provision for your healing was made available when Jesus was beaten and crucified. Legally, healing has already been accomplished. Salvation includes healing, but it must be appropriated by faith. In this scripture here, out of Mark 5, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now, the power in Jesus was available to all of those around him, but only one reached out and touched in faith. Remember, there were lots of people there all around him, but only one reached out. Yes, but there were thousands. That was thousands of years ago. With this good old Hebrews 13:8, we need to stand on that one. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because that's a really good one to stand on. Just because those promises are written in the old, that's still good. Those promises are still good today. Yes, but that was that woman. But according to Acts 10:34, God shows no partiality. If you look at number 29 on your sheet, that's exactly what Acts 10:34 says. God shows no partiality. But guys, that's hard to reconcile. That one's hard for me to reconcile. And here's why. I look at this scripture right here when it's talking about this woman was healed. There were other around her that didn't talk about their healing. And we're going to get ready to read a story that's not in our book. But when I was reading through this, I got really hung up on it. When it's going, will you be made whole? It's a scripture out of John 5:6. The story of the man that was at the pool of Bethesda. There were hundreds of people there, but only he was healed. But yet Acts 10:34 says God shows no partiality. I don't get that. But that still doesn't make God's word not true. Just because I don't understand it. We watched that happen with Jane. Well, why shouldn't Jane have? She's the Bible teacher. She's been teaching the Word. She's a godly woman. Why shouldn't God show her partiality? Well, Acts 10:34 says God shows no partiality. But he loves each of us. He cares about all of us. So he does not show partiality. But just because there's physical healing in one and there's not in another doesn't mean he doesn't love you any less. And that's hard to reconcile, that truth. Or at least it has been for me. So when those things happen, I have to go back to what I know. That He's a good God. He's a powerful God. He's a God of provision. I have to go back to what I do know and stand on those things. So I just keep my eyes focused on the healer, on the Word. That's what I keep focused on. Okay. So it goes on. I'm still on page 50. Yes, but she had faith. But according to Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do so? Or has he spoken, and he will not make it good? Faith in God is believing that God's word is true. Okay? Believing, guys, that's an action. That means you have to do something. That's your part. If you believe that God's word is true, act on what you believe. Everyone is exercising faith in something or someone. If your faith is not towards God, change your direction. Study His Word. If you look at number 30 on your sheets. It says, what is faith? And we look at Psalms 27. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And this was talking about in battle. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. That's what this was referencing back to. But we're going to trust the name of the Lord our God. And then let's look at Proverbs 11:28. Those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. So who are we to trust in? What do we put our faith in? And then we have Romans 15:13. I think you just have those references on your sheet. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What do you put your faith in? Scripture tells us to put it in the Lord. And guys, but sometimes you put your faith in your job. I have a house, and so that's my house. I put my faith in I'm always going to have this house. The house is not mine. It can be taken like that. That car that I drive, okay? I was going home and it got taken. You know, it doesn't belong to us. We have to know who our provider is and have trust in that provider. When I worked for Ingersoll Rand many years, well, it's been 15 years ago now, I used to always say, Ingersoll Rand has taken such good care of me. And finally, the Lord, I'm serious, it's one day, it just this voice said, it was not Ingersoll Rand, Joy, it was me. Oh. You okay? When I used to work for Ingersoll Rand, I remember telling the story of, I would tell people how good God had taken care of me, how good Ingersoll Rand had taken care of me. And the Lord said to me one day, Joy, I'm your provider, not Ingersoll Rand. And that gave me a different insight that day of who my provider is. And I watched, and when I look back and how I got paid and how I advanced in the company without a degree, I know when I look back, it was my God doing that, not Ingersoll Rand. So we need to always remember that and keep that in mind. Make sure we so we had number 30 on our sheet. Oh, we were talking about at the bottom of page 50. Will we continue to take to heart the words of people as though they were truth superior to the Word of God? Or are we willing to believe God's word above the words of others? The question is not what Jesus will do. He finished his job by the beating he suffered before going to the cross. He made provision for your healing and even better for your health. The question is whether or not you will believe what he has done. And just as a cross-reference, John 6:29, what is your job? It tells us your job is to believe. That's our job to do, is to believe. Jesus often placed a demand on those who came to him for healing. For example, he asked one man, will you be made whole? Let's go to John 5:6. The man healed at the pool of Bethesda. I want to read this scripture to you in this story. And guys, when Jane didn't have reference to this, John 5:6 in here, but she wrote, Jesus placed the demand on those who come to him for healing. He asked the man, will you be made whole? If you look at this scripture in the, let's see here, do you want to be made well? In the New King James, it says, if you look it up in the King James, if you go back to King James, it says, wilt thou be made whole? And when you look up in the interlinear in that one, whole, whole, okay, there we go. It could mean healthy, well, figuratively, sound, whole, sound. That's different. And when you being made whole and being made well, when you think of being made well, to me that's physical. Being made whole to me is spiritual. It's a soundness of mind. And so it was talking about that. So when this was written, will you be made whole? I really had to go back and go, well, John 5:6 in the New King James, which that's what I have in my translation, says, do you want to be made well? And so I want to just spend a little bit of time on this story. The Lord just really had me to go back, and I had to spend some time here. She did not in this writing. But again, if you can just come alongside with me here on this, I'm going to start with verse 5. Verse 1. After this, there's a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, I'm going to read from the New King James. Okay. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people. How many people? A great multitude, okay? Blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time to the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man who had an infirmity for 38 years. Guys, that's a lifetime. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made whole? Now, Jesus already knows about this. He already knows what he's thinking, but he asked him anyway. And here's the man's response. The sick man answered. He didn't say yes. He goes, sir, and he doesn't know who Jesus is. Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. And here's what Jesus says. Jesus just said, arise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and he walked. And that day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore had said to him who was cured, is it the Sabbath? Is it not lawful for you to carry your bed? And the man answered, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. And they said, well, who is this man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? The man that was healed, he did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. So, when we look at this scripture, and we kind of take it apart here, there had been this big feast, and here was Jesus in Jerusalem, okay? And he purposed to be there. Here he is pursuing again. Remember, we've read the woman at the well. He pursued her. Rahab, the harlot, he pursued her. And if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means he's pursuing you and you and you. He's pursuing each of us. That's what he was doing here with this man. He purposed to be there at this pool, okay? So, Jesus pursues us, and we find that pattern in our scripture. Now, John 5:5, it says, when Jesus saw him there, he said, will thou be made whole? I hope that as we're reading through this, that we'll kind of identify with this guy and ask ourselves, do we want to be made whole? Spiritually, and physically? Do you want to be? Some people don't want to be. Some people are enjoying their poor health. It's the old Andy Griffith show. And Aunt B ain't feeling too good. And Andy comes in and says, and they're talking about a friend of theirs, and says, you know, Augustus always did enjoy poor health. You ever heard that before? Are you enjoying your poor health? Well, no, I'm not, but have you done anything about it? Well, you must be enjoying it. And I'm talking physical or spiritual. You know, when you hear those things about, well, God didn't do this and God didn't do that, what have you done? Where's your faith? God hadn't changed. He hasn't changed. Jesus knew about this man. For the past 38 years, this man had been suffering. Jesus knows you perfectly. It says Jesus knew about this. If he knew about that man, he knows about you. He already knows what's going on. He already knows where you are, whether it's with health issues, whether it's you're afraid of something, or you've got doubts, you've got fears. He already knows that. But do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be? That's the question. Some people like getting the attention, and they don't want to be made whole. They like the attention whether it's they don't want to be made whole spiritually or physically. Think about little kids when they're sick. They get special treatment. They get ice cream when their old tonsils are taken out, or they get a special toy because they don't feel good, you know, and mama's taking care of them. They don't have to go to school. That's right. Okay, they get special treatment. They get attention. So sometimes, do you want to be made whole? Do you want that? Maybe you have to stop and ask yourself that. Where are you right here? Do you want the healing of Jesus? And it may be physical healing, maybe spiritual healing. Do you want that? Well, of course, the church answer is, well, yes, of course I want that. But are you doing anything about it? Now, this man, really, he didn't do anything. When I went back and read this, and again, Jesus says, do you want to be made whole? And he goes, but Jesus, I don't have anybody to put me in the water. He didn't say yes. Now he's making excuses. Well, nobody put me in the water, so I can't. It's been this way for 38 years. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made well? So I find that very interesting. Then Jesus, he didn't ask any more questions. He didn't ask. When the man didn't answer him, he didn't ask him another. He didn't go, well, I asked you, did you want to be made whole? He just asked one time. And then what did he tell him? Pick up your mat and walk. And what did the guy do? He did. So he said, rise up, verse 8, rise up, take your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. And he took up his bed and he walked. So when we look at this, do you want to be made whole? The man acted on Jesus' spoken word. Jesus spoke and said, rise and take up your mat. If you want something from the Lord, you need to stand on those written promises. You need to go and touch Jesus for yourself. Not on what Joy says, not on what Jane wrote in the book, not on what Pete Bumgarner stands up here and teaches. You need to go touch Jesus for yourself. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made well? And I'm sorry I keep saying, I'm not apologizing. I keep saying that because I really had to stop and ask myself. Sometimes when you keep doing the same thing over and over again, and things aren't changing, you go, well, did I want to change? Did I come here tonight to want to see Jesus and to hear from Him? Did I purpose that tonight? Have you ever been someplace, well, I didn't feel anything tonight, I didn't hear anything tonight. Well, that's your problem. God was certainly, He's there speaking to you. Think about this. When you're working in a job, you have certain benefits. Vacation time, okay? You have, but has anybody ever come to you and go, you haven't taken all your vacation time, you need to go and take your vacation time? No. Usually you have to go and ask for that. Well, we've got benefits from the Word of God. We've got promises. So we can go and stand before the Lord on those promises. God, you said you will be my provider. God, you said And you don't have to, you can quote the scripture if that helps you. He already knows what it is. But you can, he already knows these promises. Really, when you're telling him that, it's for you to reaffirm, to stand on that solid rock of his word, of what his promises are saying to you. That's what he wants you to do, is to come back and to stand on that. You need to go petition God for your benefits. Now, that's irreverent. No, it's not. Would you not go to your employer and ask for your benefits? An insurance company, you have to file a claim with them. They're not going, if you had something stolen, and you've got to go file a claim with the insurance company. They're not begging you, oh, I read in the newspaper, Danny, you had something stolen. Let me file your insurance. They don't do that. You have to go and petition for it. Well, it's the same thing with the word. Go and petition for it. God, you said, I'm going to stand on your word. You promised. You promised right here, you will find me when you seek me with all of you. You said, if I'll seek you, that I will find you. You told me you would. Then he'll hold that promise. He will keep that promise. To steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job. So, of course, he's going to come try to put that doubt, that fear. Fear is a liar. He is a liar. I like how it's a real thing, guys. It's not, fear is very real. It's very real. But we don't have to live there. We don't have to live there. Verse 13 says, but the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. In verse 14, afterwards, Jesus found him in the Jesus went and found him again. Here's Jesus pursuing again. He withdrew from the multitudes. And here again, there's multitudes. So there's hundreds of people there. Okay? And then Jesus went to him in purpose to find this man again. See that you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. And guys, this is what, the healing was not for the man to be healed. Think about that. It really wasn't for him to be healed. This really what the healing was about, so this man would be holy. He would be set apart, that God would be glorified. That's what the healing was about. It wasn't so this man could be healed and go on and go about working. Now, that did happen. But the purpose of the healing, when God chooses to heal on this earth, it's for his glory. It's for his purpose. It's for his holiness. That's the purpose of the healing. That's why the Lord healed him. Jesus, he wants us to always know that we can say it is well with our soul. One of the things that I asked Jane in the midst of all of this going on and being diagnosed and all the things that were going on, I said, how can I pray for you? What can I pray for you? And here's what she said to me. I'm expecting, pray for God, whatever. No, pray for me that I will always be preserved blameless before the Lord. I'm like, really? That's what you want me to pray for you? She goes, yes. That no matter what decision I make, whatever I do, that I will be preserved blameless before the Lord. That's what this is about. That's what healing is about. And she was healed, from my understanding, that once she had been diagnosed with this, that first round of treatments that she had, she was healed for a short time, physically. I didn't know really how sick that she was. I don't think that she did. You would never know. And the Lord gave me 2 years with her. And had I known ahead of time what was going to be, I would have done things differently. But I just came faithfully every week, and the Lord had placed in my heart to go and be with her and I didn't know it was only going to be 2 years. I didn't know that. I expected it to continue on. I'd still be sitting right there in that chair today. Had no idea this is where we'd be. But God's still faithful. His word is still true. None of that's changed. Why? I'm just telling you, I don't understand why she was not healed that second time. But I'm so grateful for the 2 years that I had to be her mentor, that she was my mentor, that I got to come alongside of her and her pour into me. As she's poured into y'all much longer than she had me. And even though we were family, I never knew her in this way. So, and again, that I was chosen to come and be your facilitator, I can't even begin to tell you how awesome that the Lord is. So that's His provision. That's His guidance. But it was my obedience. if you've ever had the Lord tell you to go do something, and that was it, he said, Joy, I want you to go be with Jane on the second Friday night of each month. And when I asked her that, it was kind of out of selfishness. I just wanted to go be with her. But I wanted to know what she was teaching. There was something in my heart that said, I want to know what she's teaching. I want to know more about that. And then it got to be no matter what was going on, I would be here. And there were several times it was not convenient to be here. And there were several times she had things on Saturday that I didn't get to spend all that time with her, and she had to go do. But it was every week. I never missed it. There was not a Friday night. I look back now and go, thank you, Lord, I didn't miss. What if I would have missed that time? I didn't get to hear those truths. I never did. And I'm not bragging on me. That's God's faithfulness to get me here every month. It was His faithfulness. And then for you guys to come and take me in, and you've been so kind to me, you've never treated me as an outsider. You just would come and just take me in and just love on me and encourage me. It's just precious. And I know I'm supposed to be here for such a time as this. I don't know how long this will be. I don't know how long it'll go on. But for such a time as this, we're here. And I thank you for that. I thank Jane that she wrote this book. She's not physically here, but she's still teaching. She's still teaching. Spiritually, she's still here. Those truths are still truths. Even though, again, hold on, you claim that healing. Healing's already been done. It's still the truth. That hasn't changed. And that's, again, I'm with you. Pete Bumgarner's there. I don't know. I don't understand it. But there's also a scripture out of Deuteronomy 29 that says they're the secret things that only God knows. So I trust that. Because I trust His Word. I don't take this. I'm only going to believe this Word. I'm not going to believe this one over here. I'm going to believe all of it. And then I can rest in that peace that passes all understanding, that guards my heart, so when these stinking thinking comes about, I can go back and stand in the promises and the truth of the Word and stand solid on that. So this has been a really good, this story. I had to dig into it more. Even though she didn't in this, me personally, I hope that gave you some insights and some things to think about. The biggest thing it did for me was draw me right back to God's Word, draw me right back to the promises that He is still a good, good God. Page 51 of your book says, "Will you be made whole?" That's what Jesus asked that man. Will you? Do you want to be made whole? He goes on to say, we are not to seek healing. We are to seek Jesus the healer. Guys, Jane wrote this before she was sick. And that's exactly what she did. She sought the healer every day of her life. That's exactly what she did. Healing is in the healer. In Jeremiah chapter 29, we are given the principle that in seeking the Lord with all our heart, we will find Him. There's your scripture card. There's your scripture card. Damsel, arise and be made whole by your faith in Jesus. Seek Him with all of your heart and believe His word above the word of anyone else. Press through the crowded road of what others say about you and touch Jesus in person for yourself. This is God's design for woman. Got a song I'd like for you to listen to. And those that are listening online, if you want to look it up, it's Natalie Grant. And it's called More Than Anything. So we're going to pause right now on the recording. If you guys want to listen to that, and we'll be back in just a minute on the recording. So as we come back from listening to Natalie Grant, we're going to pick back up with Poverty and Lack on page 51. And what we're to be looking at on our the God's design for woman in this is arise from your destitution to your God-planned destiny. So when we're looking at poverty and lack, for better understanding of this content, Jane had asked that we would read the book of Ruth. I hope that you guys have read that at some point in time. Now, Ruth was a Moabitess. Consider what the law of Moses said about a Moabite. Right in Deuteronomy. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the tenth generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever because they did not meet you with bread and water on the road when you came out of Egypt. And because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor, from Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse you. Now, as a Moabitess, Ruth bore a shameful heritage. Furthermore, she was widowed, destitute, and in a situation of extreme need. She lived in the company of two other widows, her sister-in-law and her mother-in-law. Now, Naomi, her mother-in-law, encouraged her to go back to her mother's house. She counseled her to retreat to her family, familiar setting with familiar people and make a way for herself. Sometimes, in fact, most of the times, it seems more favorable to go back to familiar settings. The Israelites often thought of going back to Egypt when their way became difficult. When the going gets tough, we want to quit going. It's more convenient to disconnect from our commitments and take the easy way. It must have been tempting for Ruth to listen to Naomi. If you look at number 32 on your handout, sometimes it's easier to stay in the known even when it hurts. Even when it's lousy because you're afraid of the unknown. And this is where your faith at the size of a mustard seed comes in. That we walk by faith and not by sight. And sometimes think about this, guys. Even as hard as it is, we don't like to change. And even when it's bad, we don't like to change because it's known. And if we step out of that, we're stepping into the unknown. And that's scarier than staying back here in the hurt and in the pain. And the I think of abused women is kind of what first comes to mind. They stay in that as horrible as it is because it's the known. And to step out into the unknown, I don't know what that's like. What if it's worse out there than it is over here? So in this situation, and this is kind of, I think, what she was trying to tell us, is that it's hard to go because we don't walk by faith. We walk by sight. If it doesn't look good over there, I'm not going over there. That's not what Ruth did. Okay? So as we're reading through that, I'm on page 52. What would we have been thinking in her situation? I should have never married into this family in the first place. Bunch of losers. This time I'll marry for money in the land of my gods. When I get home, I'll get myself a good family name and position in the community. This time I'll be somebody, a success. Now, Orpah chose to take the road back, the familiar road, and we never hear of her again. Ruth was different. She had a determination to go forward, to take the unfamiliar path. The path leading to God. And on page 33, number 33 on your sheet, the scripture that God brought to my mind was Proverbs 4:25-27. And this is probably one of my favorite scriptures because it says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Look straight ahead. And let your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways establish. This is the part I love. Do not look to the right and do not look to the left. That will remove your foot from evil. Look straight ahead. Guys, this is scripture. This is a biblical principle. Look straight ahead. What happens when you look to the left or to the right? What happened to Peter? Jesus said, get out of the boat. Keep your eyes on me. Look straight ahead. What happened when he looked to the left or the right? He sank. Same biblical principle. Keep your eyes on the Word. If you look to the left or to the right, you're over here looking at, well, this is what the doctor said. Oh, let's look over. Well, this is what my neighbor said about me. Well, let me tell you what my husband said about me. Nobody loves. Okay, look ahead. Look at that word. Stand firm in that word. And the scripture says, remove your foot from evil. Okay? So, that scripture just jumped out at me when it said that. Ruth found favor. Here we go. Top of page 53. Ruth, whose name means friend, was compelled forward through loyalty to Naomi. Her relationship with another person had become a stronger force in her life than her own individual needs. Through initiative and desire, Ruth came to the fields of Boaz, Naomi's kinsman redeemer, which was exactly the place God needed her to be. Number 37 on your page, on your handout, kinsman redeemer. I want to read what that means. It's a male relative who, according to various laws of the Pentateuch, had the privilege or the responsibility to act on behalf of a relative who was in trouble, danger, or need. Kinsman redeemer. Does that sound like anybody we know today in the New Testament? We have a redeemer. We're going to talk about him. Okay? So So I just wanted to give a little background when you hear that kinsman redeemer, what that meant in Old Testament. Although, on page 53, although she thought she had nothing to offer, Naomi had what Ruth needed all along, connection to a relative of her husband who had the right and the responsibility of redeeming a widow from poverty. Lost hope had blinded Naomi to the possibility of redemption and recovery. She had become so overwhelmed by the circumstances of loss in her life that she had nearly given up, thinking that the Lord had dealt bitterly with her. Anybody been there? Number 35 on your sheet. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 9, Boaz comes up and he says, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Lost, blind, hope. Anybody been there? Hope. Do you know what the word hope means? I always have to say this. When I just say hope, I always think about hope as, I hope it's going to snow and I don't have to go to school tomorrow. That's when I'm a little kid. It's like a wish. But hope in the Bible is confident expectation. So when you hear the word hope, I can confidently know. So I don't have to have blind hope. I don't have to have that blind, well, maybe it's going to happen and maybe it's not. Okay, I don't have to go there. So is lost hope blinding, making you believe the lies of the enemy? Okay, we've talked about that fear. Is that lost hope blinding you from your Redeemer, from the abundant life? I'm reading off the sheet right now. Go and feast on the truth of the Word, asking the Holy Spirit to heal your eyes of the blind hope with the eyes of confident expectation of God's faithful provision from all His riches and glory just for you. Love that scripture. Run to your kinsman redeemer. He's waiting to swoop you up in His arms to protect you, making you His bride forever. What beautiful, beautiful imagery that's in this book of Ruth. We're going to go on page 53, back on your book. Ruth found favor with Boaz, Naomi's kinsman. He greatly admired the young woman, having heard from others the story of her courage and faithfulness. He spoke this blessing upon her. The Lord repay your work and full reward be given by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Even though Boaz instructed his men to drop handfuls of grain on her Even though Boaz instructed his men to drop handfuls of grain for her on purpose, Ruth continued to work as a gleaner. From her example, we learn that provision is not automatic. We have to make the effort to gather what the Lord provides for you. You must go to the harvest. It does not come to you. Number 36 on your sheet says, and I'm going to read this out of 1 Corinthians 15:58, out of the New Living Translation. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. So everything we're to do for the Lord. But we have to do our part, guys. That's what she was trying to tell us. We can't just, okay, we'll sit here and wait. God's my provider. Here it comes. You've got to do your part. And what's our number one thing to do? Believe. We have to have belief. And that part of that belief comes our faith. Okay? I'm on page 54, I think. Yes, page 54. Boaz protected Ruth, commanding his men not to touch her. He provided for her, inviting her to come enjoy bread at his table. When she came to his feet as he slept on the threshing floor, openly expressing to him her need, he accepted. Ruth became the wife of Boaz, mother of Obed, grandmother of Jesse, and great-grandmother of King David. Boaz is an Old Testament picture of our kinsman redeemer, Jesus. He was related to Naomi. Jesus came into earth as a human being, born of a woman. He is, therefore, related to us. Boaz was able to redeem because he had means. Jesus is able to redeem you because he alone lived a shameless life, the only legal means acceptable to God as payment for your redemption. Boaz was willing to redeem Naomi and Ruth. Jesus was willing to drink the cup of death on my... Jesus was willing to drink the cup of death as my substitute in order to redeem me, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And guys, when we look at this, Jesus had a will. We're made in his image, so we have a will. Now, I know you, but Jesus was going to do this. This was his job. Okay, that's right. But this scripture, and there's one other scripture. Jesus, he had a choice. But what did he say? Not my will, Father, but yours. That's a pattern for us to follow. God, what do you want me to do? Your will be done, not mine. Bottom of page 54, the first chapter of Matthew records Ruth in the lineage of Jesus. She followed God and walked right into the future he already had in mind for her. And Psalm 23 declares, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And guys, a lot of times that's read at funerals, but I'm telling you, that's one of the most powerful scriptures you can stand and read today. The Lord is my shepherd, I don't have to want for anything, because he's going to provide for me from all of his riches and glory. That means he's got it all. There's not nothing he's going, wait a minute, I got to wait another week before such and such. No, he has it all now for you. The road to his provision is not the natural road, not the easy road. It is a road of loyalty, commitment, diligence, and humility. The Lord gave us in Christ alone. There's nothing else. In Christ alone. Gathering his provision means working hard and trusting him when the circumstances look bleak. Trusting the Lord means feeling alone and abandoned by people sometimes. But it's the road, it's the right road, because it leads to life and provision. You might want to underline those. It leads to life and provision. Not only for you, for oneself, but also for generations to come. Who was it? Because of her faithfulness, because she was obedient, she married Boaz. Now, they in the lineage of Jesus. So her obedience went down through generations and generations. Your obedience can affect generation after generation after, or your disobedience. Also, we're going to talk some more about that in another chapter. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Damsel, arise from poverty and lack by living a life of consideration for others. Find a field to work in, a place where your strengths will benefit others, and work hard. Let the gifts the Lord has put in you make room for you. Promotion will surely come from the Lord. Arise from destitution to your God-planned destiny. This is God's design for woman. So as we can see, Ruth didn't have much, but he certainly provided for. And that concludes Women of the Word for May 2018.